added. Berachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I've been thinking about something, how God has plans for us, and he wants to bring us into breakthroughs. How many of you are in favor of a breakthrough in your life? And you know that God has good plans for you, plans to prosper you. He is not neutral about us, and he is concerned for our good. He wants to take us from wherever we are to the places he wants to get us. Now, some people I have found in talking to them about breakthroughs don't actually know what the breakthrough is that they're looking for. They want things to be better, but they don't know what better is. And so they ask without clarity and they ask without specificity. They're hoping, but they're hoping vaguely for something. When I was first searching about the Lord, I talked to a man who gave me such great advice, Pat Pritchard. He said, when you pray, pray with detail, pray specifically. And that way, when God answers you, you will know that God answered you. And I have followed that advice. And I have found when God answers me, I can give thanks to him in a strong way. And I can remember things he did for me many years ago, decades ago, because of the specificity. You know, sometimes you've probably gone to the movies and you've watched a movie and when you left, you can't remember anything because it was okay, but it wasn't great. Or you've gone out to eat somewhere and you had a meal and there was nothing bad about it and there was nothing memorable about it. When it was all said and done, you were satisfied, but it wasn't special. Well, sometimes we pray without any kind of specificity, and even when God answers us, we don't even know he answered us because we brought such vagueness into it that when the answer came, we didn't associate it with the actual situation we were in. So I want to encourage you to be specific, and I believe this is something I know for sure when I was praying this week for you. The Holy Spirit was telling me that there are many of you who don't have guideposts, you don't have milestones, markers along the way. You don't know where you're headed, and you don't know if you're on the right path. That's one issue that I think the Lord wants to speak to us about. And then there's another issue, which is some people, you have a need, but you don't know God's position about that need. You have a problem that needs solving, but you don't know where God stands. And it's so important to know. And you might say, well, I don't know if I can know. I want to tell you, you can know and you must know God's position. Let me illustrate it from Jewish biblical history. You read in the book of Esther about a holiday. What's it called? Purim. And we learn it. As we read the book of Esther, that God wanted the children of Israel to survive. Are you aware of that? He wanted us to live. But he also wanted us to remain where we were, even though local enemies had risen up against us. He wanted us to stay, and so he made a way for the children of Israel to stay in the places where they were. How many of you are familiar with that? You knew that already. Just wave at me if you already knew that. Good. Okay. Now, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, which we read about at the end of Genesis and then we read about in Exodus, God also wanted the children of Israel to survive. How many of you know that? You knew that too. Okay. So he still has the same purpose. I want you to survive. But in the case of their time in Egypt, God had a different plan. The plan was not for Israel to stay there continually, or even at the moment that we're reading about in Exodus, the plan was to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, correct? Okay, now what if you're a Purim kind of guy? And that's your theology, that God works through Purim and that's it. You know what? If you were in Egypt, This is anachronistic, I understand. But if you were in Egypt and God says, go, that wouldn't fit into your way of doing things, and it would be hard for you. Now, let's say you're an Exodus kind of gal, and God says, stay put. And you say, oh, no, 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 no. God, all I need is a Red Sea breakthrough. And God's saying, I'm trying to get you to stay where you are. And you're saying, I'm trying to get out. You see, as disciples of Yeshua, we have a challenge every single day, and that is to discern the will of God and then to agree with God's will. Now, how do you do that? Yeshua taught that we pray a certain way. Your will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. Okay, so your will be done. Can you say that to God? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what that implies? That the heavenly will of God, the will of God that he knows, that he expresses in his place in the heavenly realm, that will of God can be recognized here on earth. We can agree with it. We can join ourselves to it, and we can participate in it. And when we're saying your will, it's in opposition to other kinds of will. My will. Many of us pray more like this, if you were to boil down our language, my will be done on in heaven as it is on earth. God, I figured out everything, and I just want to tell you so you can put your stamp on it. I know you need to look at my plans so you can sign off. Just here they are. You say amen and we're good to go. Many of us pray like that. Is it true? Oh, come on. Give me a break. Of course it's true. We all slip into that. Yeshua wouldn't have to teach us how to pray if we weren't inclined to pray another way. And so one way that we pray is we pray our own will. Now, there's another way that we pray, and that is with no will, where we don't even understand. We have no idea what our position is or what God's position is, and we just sort of pray, help get me out of this mess. And I think we have to get beyond that. There are some breakthroughs where you can pray like that, and God will show mercy and answer you. But many of us have needs and challenges that require a different kind of prayer and a more powerful kind of prayer where you actually recognize the will of God and you agree with the will of God. And so I think that there are some of you who will be challenged in the next few weeks because you will recognize that you don't yet know God's position about your difficult situation. And I want to encourage you to find out what God's position is. Now, when you find that out, it may not be some big mystical experience. It may simply be a dawning and a realization. It may be that what was not clear to you becomes explicit in your own understanding. You may become concrete where you were just vague before. You may say, well, I know God heals. I just don't know if he wants to heal me. And you want to move beyond that. You might say, well, I know God has a job for people. I just don't know if he has a job for me. Well, you should, as long as you have that attitude, you sure don't want to go into sales. But you won't necessarily experience a prayer breakthrough until you learn how to pray more clearly. And you see, God has a position, and when you line yourself up with his will, then something develops in you that we could call the faith factor. Could you say that with me? The faith factor. You see, God is trustworthy all the time. However, our faith sometimes is unstable or uncertain or not well directed. When we line ourselves up with the will of God, the faith factor kicks in instead of the fear factor. And when we agree with God, then we're in a position for the will of God to be done in our lives in incredible ways, in powerful ways, in ways that could truly be described as miraculous and breakthroughs. And that's really what I want to speak to you about. Now, I want to make reference to something that was in my notes. It's from Exodus chapter 3, where God calls Moses and tells him, you're going to bring the children of Israel up out of Egypt. And in verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I? Say that with me. Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God answers him. His answer is, Moses, you are just so good. You're the best Jew we've ever had. You're smart. You've got sechel. You know, you spent some time with royalty. You've had some miracles in your own life already. You're the man. You would think that's what Moses is looking for. But God answers this question, who am I? And God says, by insinuation, you're nothing. God says this, I will be with you. Who am I to do this? It's not about you, Moses. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. You see, it's not about Moses, it's about God who sent Moses. Moses, take your eyes off of yourself, put your eyes on me. I will be with you, and I'm going to give you a sign, not for the children of Israel, but for you, that I'm the one who have sent you. Here's the sign. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. That's your sign, Moses. When will you know for certain and it will all be settled that I called you to do it? When you go there and get them and come back with them and you're here standing before me with them and you worship, then you'll know. That's how you'll know. Moses thought that his challenge was about himself. He thought maybe he wasn't good enough. Guess what? He wasn't good enough. Maybe he thought he wasn't strong enough. Guess what? He was not strong enough. He was 80 years old. Maybe he thought, I'm too old. He was too old to do it. What he thought he needed was some basis for self-confidence. And God was saying, it's not about you, it's about me. Your confidence needs to be in me. This is why God called Moses, because Moses could develop that confidence in God and respond to it. And he did, and he was faithful. He was faithful to it. Now, if you go to this week's Torah portion, and you read in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, it says, in the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai. They camped in the wilderness, and so Israel camped there before the mountain. There they are. And as we read on from that point and further into the book of Exodus, we will see they're back at the exact mountain where Moses was, where he received his commission, and they begin to worship the Lord. It's the mountain, as we read about, where they, through Moses, God gives to Moses to give to Israel the Ten Commandments. They experience the awesome presence of God, the mighty and the terrible presence of God, really. This was the sign that Moses needed. You see, there were times for Moses, perhaps, where he was going forward in this and he's wondering, how's it going to turn out? How's this going to work? When he was called to speak to Pharaoh and to say, God is going to do this and that, he spoke the words that God gave him. Is that not true? He spoke to Pharaoh. But did he have the power to produce what God said would happen? He had no power. He could not cause those things to happen. Even at the Red Sea, did Moses have the power to take Israel through the Red Sea? He did not. Did he have the power to split the sea, to dry the ground? He only had the assignment to speak the word and to lead the people in it. Correct? And so he did his part, but his part was not enough. Even with full obedience, it wasn't enough because he didn't have the power. God reserved for himself the power. And God did what no man could do. And there was a reason for that. God wanted the children of Israel to worship him more than to honor their own leaders ahead of God. Because God was endorsing Moses, but the children of Israel had to trust in the Lord first. If they trusted Moses without God, it would only be trouble. It'd be a terrible pattern. So Moses himself needed a guidepost. He needed a marker. He needed to know that he was on the right track. And he had a road sign, if you will. And he was able to do everything that God called him to do. And that reminds me of something, that every one of us needs road signs. We need to know. That's why in Jeremiah it says, set up for yourself road marks, Jeremiah 31:21. Place for yourself guideposts, direct your mind to the highway, the way by which you went. Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient and eternal paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. So you have to know where you're headed. You have to know something about the path to go on. This week we read about how Moses tried to deal with some of the problems that the children of Israel had, and he had to learn to handle the problems differently. And the first thing he had to learn to do was to pray for the people and their difficult problems, not to take counsel with them. You know, there's a normal human tendency. You want to hear the story. You want to hear all the details. You want to evaluate and counsel and give advice. That's one part of the pastoral task. But Moses was called to be a pastor, to be a shepherd, but he was called to pray for the people, for their difficulties, and to intercede. And that's why we are trying to do more prayer, even in the Shabbat services, so that we're praying for real people in real situations, and that's what I want to speak about for the rest of the time that we have together. So now I'm going to turn to the thing that the Lord was putting on my heart during worship. And I haven't read this whole passage fresh. So join with me. It's in Mark chapter 5. We'll read it together in part. Starting in verse 22. Yeshua's come back across the lake, and he'd been with the demon-possessed guy, made it home, crosses over again back to the other side, and a great multitude gathers to him, verse 21, and he was by the sea, and verse 22, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at Yeshua's feet, and he begged him earnestly, and he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. Now, this is what I want to underline for you. How do we know these details? Because someone took notice. Someone asked this guy, what's your name? At some point, who are you? Oh, you're a ruler in the synagogue, one of the leaders in the synagogue. Okay, so what's the story about your daughter? They get the story. You see, Jairus came to Yeshua with clarity about what he wanted. He was saying, I know something about you. You can heal my daughter. And my daughter needs healing. And here I am, and I'm asking you, would you come and heal her? So does Jairus have an idea of what he wants done? Absolutely. He's perfectly clear. And he is specific, and that's why he's coming there. He's not hoping something will happen. He's taking action based on his faith for what he hopes for. His faith is that he hopes for his daughter's healing, and God wants to heal her. God wants to heal her. That's his position. Now, what if he was sure God did not want to heal her? Or if he thought, you know what, I don't think God wants to heal her. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Do you think he would fall at Yeshua's feet and beg him to come? No, people don't humble themselves like that unless they've got some sense that the person may respond. So he says that. So Yeshua went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, as they're going, look at verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all the money she had, and she was not any better. In fact, she grew worse. Do you see the details? How long has this woman had a flow of blood? 12 years. Somebody stopped to ask her, how long have you had this problem? She said, 12 years. Well, have you seen a doctor? Yeah, I've seen every doctor I could. In fact, I've spent all my resources on the doctors. Well, what did they say to you? They said, here's the bill. And I paid it. Are you any better? No. In fact, I'm worse. Now, is it the doctor's fault? No. They couldn't heal her. They didn't know what to do. And so she's coming to Yeshua, and she is believing that Yeshua knows what to do and that it is the will of God for her to be healed. Listen, some of you, if you've had problems for 12 years, 10 years, 20 years. Can you, anybody hear that old? And no one's been able to help you yet. And you've been wondering, is anyone going to be able to? And the fact is, maybe nobody can help you except God. And it is possible that after all of your resources are used up and you finally say, maybe God can help me, that maybe God will help you. Now, I'm not against doctors. I like doctors. And I highly value the medical profession. But I know something by being friends with doctors. They can't heal everyone. And they can't even help everyone. And they know that. And that's part of their own excruciating dilemma, that as much as they want to help everyone, they cannot help everyone. This woman was one of those who couldn't be helped. But we know something about her. She was bleeding for 12 years. She suffered a lot. And when she heard about Yeshua, it says in verse 27, she came from behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. Because, as one of the other gospels says, she said, if I could just touch the fringes of his garment, his tzitzit, I would be healed. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately. Say that with me. Immediately. And Yeshua, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? You see, Yeshua had not even prayed for her. The power of God was released Not because Yeshua prayed for her, but because he was good. And he says, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said, "Come on. There's a whole multitude thronging around you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' How can we figure out who touched you? That's a crazy question to ask. Everybody's touching you." And Yeshua looked around to see who had done it. He stops. It's like something happened. "Who touched me?" "It was you, wasn't it?" He looks at that woman. He looks around, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." You see, she was hoping for healing. How long did she hope for a healing? 12 years she hoped for healing. Every time she went to the doctor, she was hoping for a healing. And she held on. She didn't give up. She tried everything she could to get a healing in the normal ways. And it wasn't enough. But her faith kept her hope going. What was her faith? "God will heal me even if no one else will. Even if no one else can." And then she had the opportunity to be there with Yeshua. She didn't go through any protocol. She had faith. She just went to him. She touched him. She touched him where she thought she was supposed to touch him. Touch those tzitzit, touch those fringes. That's enough. She does. It's like, whoa, what just happened here? Now, the skeptics in the world would say, "Hey, she thinks she got healed. She didn't really get healed because it just happened. You know, she doesn't know if she's going to start bleeding again." It's interesting. She felt it. But it wasn't just a feeling. Even though it touched her feelings, it was her faith. God had spoken something to her, had given her some understanding. Maybe it was intuition. Maybe it was that kind of recognition of the will of God that bypasses all your thought processes. You just sort of know without having figured anything out. Sometimes it's a touching of the heart. Your heart begins to feel like you know God is wanting to do something. This happened to some of you. Sometimes it comes when you're praying or you're worshiping, and all of a sudden it opens up to you and you know God wants to do something, and you never were even thinking about how it's going to happen, but you know now he wants to do it. And when it says your faith, it's speaking about that. It's not that you pressed God. It's that God had awakened in you the reality of his good purposes and intentions, and you agreed with him. Your hope merged together with your trust in God. That's what it's speaking about. Your faith. Now, that made it all the way into the scripture so that you and I would be able to learn something from it. Your faith. Say that with me. Your faith has made you well. So your faith means the faith that you have in God himself, in his goodness, in his plans, in his intentions, in what he says he's going to do. Your faith. It's not your faith in yourself. It's not your faith in your faith. It's your faith in him. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and then look at this, and be healed of your affliction. That suggests something. The healing started, but it was going to continue. And be healed. Right? Have you ever had that experience where something begins, but it's not yet complete? But you know it could be. And what's required? that you continue in it. Now let's keep going. We'll just take a few more minutes here. Verse 35, I want you to understand that this was sort of pandemonium. That's probably a good description of the whole situation. The reason I say that is, here is this desperate father who's trying to get Yeshua somewhere. There's a crowd all around. They're trying to get in close to Yeshua to get something from him. One woman just does, and the father still wants Yeshua to get to his daughter, but it's not over yet. Look, verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher any further? And as soon as Yeshua heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only trust. Do you see the challenge? Fear versus faith. The fear factor versus the faith factor. Well, the rest of the story tells us that they went in, just a few of them, and Yeshua revived the girl. But there was one more incident along the way that Mark doesn't record, but I believe Matthew does. Let me see if I can find it. No, it's afterwards, actually. If you go to Matthew chapter 9, oh, yeah, it is. It's all mixed up here. Okay. Matthew 9, verse 23, Yeshua came into the ruler's house, flute players, noisy crowd. Yeshua says to them, get out of the way, because the girl's not dead, she's sleeping. And they mocked him. And so they put the crowd outside. He went in, he took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went out all the land. And when Yeshua departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Yeshua said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. Is that good? Yeah. You see, in these cases, we get all these details because the people who were watching this, the disciples, they were saying, you know, some of this is important. Now, when we're praying for people here in our synagogue and we cover certain details, it's because those details are important. And that's why we want to pray carefully. We want to pray for people's real situations. If someone gets healed, we want to know, well, what was your healing all about? How long have you had this problem? Even if someone doesn't get healed, we want to know, what's your condition? Because sometimes you have to pray more than once. Is that correct? And you have to keep pursuing God and continue until you get that whole breakthrough. So I'm bringing this to you. You know, I had this inkling about something. Sandy said to me when I was getting ready to come tonight, she said, so how do you feel about your message? I said, I think it's going to be better tomorrow. And I didn't know why. She said, well, why don't you just bring tomorrow's message tonight? It'll be fine. I said, no, I think there's something to work through tonight. And I still don't know, you know, what it's all about. But I believe there are some of you who you heard something tonight that touched something in your own situation, your own condition. And I want to ask you to focus on something. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you know what it is you want God to do? And the second question, do you know God's position about that? Do you know what he wants to do? And have you lined up what you want done with what he wants done? So that you know your faith is at work. And then, are you asking? Are you talking to him? Are you agreeing with him? Are you putting yourself in the position? Are you doing the things he showed you? You see, he said to that one woman by the Holy Spirit, if you'll just touch his garments, his clothes, his tzitzit, the fringes, you'll be healed. That's what she went for, right? She didn't tap him on the shoulder. She didn't try to get an appointment. She had one purpose. I'm going to get those tzitzit. I'm going to touch them, and here's why. Because God said if I did that, I would be healed. She didn't ask, you know, how do you get time with this guy? I see he's very busy. How can I get him to pray for me? Mm-mm-mm. She had a plan that was given to her by the Holy Spirit, and so she followed his plan. Do you see that? And some of you don't yet have a plan. And so you've been looking for healing. You've been looking for a breakthrough, but you don't yet have God's plan. And I want to ask you to take time to get his plan, to pray. I want to tell you that that's a word for you. You need this so that you can get your breakthrough. Now, let me tell you the good news. The reason God put you here to hear this is because he wants you to get your breakthrough. He doesn't want you to be hindered or to lacking that. If he didn't care about you getting your breakthrough, he would have found a way to keep you from coming tonight. So you wouldn't hear this, and you wouldn't be bothered. But he brought you tonight, and he knew what he was doing. He wants you to have your breakthrough. I dare say there's no one here in this room who God wants to exclude from the breakthroughs. Now, it's important to find his position about the breakthrough. Is it a Purim breakthrough or an Exodus breakthrough? You better know the difference. Is it get him to come to your house or you go to his crown breakthrough? What is it? It's important to discern that. So how do you get the answer to that? That's the last thing I want to tell you. How do you get the answer to that? You come to God with a question. You stop. All the other stuff that keeps you busy. Turn off the TV. Don't answer the cell phone. Stop tweeting. Stop your text messaging. And take a season to draw close to the Lord. Imagine this, the picture Jeremiah gives. You're at an intersection, and you don't know where to turn. And you're going to have to find out which way to go. And if you go in the right way, you know what? Your soul will be refreshed. It will be good for you. The mercy of God will be released to you. And that way is open. But the scripture says you have to stop, you have to look, you have to ask, and then you have to go. All of that is required. Don't cut any corners on this. It won't work for you. Well, how many of you actually needed to hear this tonight? Can I see? Praise God. So this is what I want to do. I want to have a time where we can pray for people who just want to ask in prayer with someone else. So I want to ask Brian and Fran, will you come down to pray with people after we close the service? And David Doherty and Paul, can you come down? Paul's running something. He won't be able to come down until he's wrapped up. He's on the recording equipment. But he will be down. And Eric, will you come as well? And there are some of you, and you know you need someone to pray with you and for you for your breakthrough tonight. and I want to invite you to come down, and one of the folks who will be here as we close will pray with you and pray for you. Right now we're going to close the service. We're going to end the service with Aaron's blessing. If you want to stand, please do so. I always say, you don't have to stand alone. And I told my friend Chris Moses, "You please come stand with me so I don't have to stand alone." Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua.